This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Dear respected brothers, elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Gives me great pleasure to be at this Mubarak Masjid, mashallah. I've heard many great things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of the brothers and sisters who have been involved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a source of barakah and guidance for the local community. Today I wanted to speak about loving the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believing in the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following the precepts of the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for believing in the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Believe in Allah and His Messenger. So it is an obligation for every single individual to believe not only in Allah, but to also believe in the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for following the wajib and the fard of following the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, O Messenger of Allah, if you truly love Allah, if your love is true for Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me, and in return, Allah will love you. So Allah's love for an individual is on the condition that a person follows the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not just enough to believe in the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. So the command here is for wujub. In the Arabic language, the word tabi'a is a little calf which follows the parent wherever it goes. And this is what a believer is like with the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he follows the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in return, only then will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love you. Now, we are also an obligation to love the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every believer we know must love the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But to what degree? That's a question, isn't it? Every believer professes that he loves the message of Allah. But to what degree are you required to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then love his Nabi? And this is clear from the narration where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa walidihi wa nasi ajma'in. That none of you can be a true believer until I am more beloved to him than his parents, his children, and the entirety of humanity. So to be a complete believer, a person must love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than he loved anything else. That is the requirement. Why is it today that we don't really have that element of love for the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because the truth is, although we profess, and every believer should profess, that he loves the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but how much do we learn about the life of the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Really, hand on heart, how many people here can say that they read an entire book from cover to cover on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hand on heart. And this is meant to be a guide. The more you learn about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba, the vast majority, when they gave bayah to the Messenger of Allah, when they embraced Islam, They didn't have the optimum love. But the more they learnt about the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the more they sat with the Prophet ﷺ, their love increased. When they met the Prophet ﷺ, they saw the love. When the Prophet ﷺ would shake somebody's hand, subhanAllah, he would not release that person's hand until that person pulled away his hand himself. Imagine, I was walking in just now and a guy gave me salam, but I didn't really want to, you know, stand there, shake his hand because I was being late for the Jum'ah. I don't have the burden of humanity on my shoulders. The Prophet ﷺ had the burden of humanity on his shoulders. Still, the Prophet ﷺ afforded people time. The Sahaba says that the Messenger of Allah, when you spoke to him, he would turn his entire countenance, his entire body towards you. And then he would speak to you. Until Amr ibn As embraced Islam late. Amr ibn As says that the Messenger of Allah showed me so much love, so much affection, that I believed that I was the closest person to him. Until I said to the Messenger of Allah, I said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, am I better than Abu Bakr?" Abu Bakr had embraced Islam from the beginning. He said, "No." He said, "Okay. The love that you're showing me, I must be better than Umar." He said, "Am I better than Umar?" The Messenger of Allah said, "No." He said, "Then I must at least be more beloved than Uthman." The Messenger of Allah said, "No." Amr ibn As says, "I regretted asking the Messenger of Allah this question, but it was the love and the affection that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam afforded me." So the more that you study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more that you will love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen, the more you impart the love of the Messenger of Allah to your children, the more you teach them about the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is what will keep them on the deen. It's not dalils. Research has shown those people who remain on the religion are those people who have felt the religion, who've had an emotional connection with the religion. Not those who you give dalil upon dalil. So if your children love the Prophet ﷺ, if you spent time teaching them about the love of the Messenger of Allah, if you spent time before they went to sleep and telling them stories about the love of the Prophet ﷺ, the sacrifice of the Prophet ﷺ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet ﷺ in the Quran, maybe you will destroy yourself following those people. Following those people who do not embrace Islam because of your fikr and your concern. You all know the narration where the Prophet ﷺ would stand at night and he would cry for the ummah until the narration mentions that a noise would come from his chest like it was a boiling kettle. And if you know all this and your children know all this, then it will keep them firm upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they know that this man was just not an object of, you know, praise once in a month, no. But his life was a life that if you follow it, you will have contentment in this dunya and you will also have contentment in the akhirah. And this is why for a believer, if you really have true love, that some things happen in the world, it upsets a person. If somebody says something crude, rude, insults your parents, it's your fitrah, it's your nature to be upset. If nothing ever upsets you, then Imam Shafi, rahmatullah alayhi, said you're a donkey. Nothing upsets you, you're a donkey. For that man who was a guidance for humanity, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, without the Messenger of Allah, there is no Jannah. There is no Islam. There is no Jum'ah. There is no Nikah. There is no Janazah. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was walking with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Umar said, "Oh Messenger of Allah," the Messenger of Allah is holding his hand and he's walking with him. And Umar sees the affection and he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, you know how much I love you. I love you more than anything in the world besides that which is between these two sides." The Messenger of Allah said, "Umar, none of you can be a true believer until I am more beloved to him than everything else on the face of this earth. And Umar radiallahu anhu begins to think. And after a little while, Umar says, O Messenger of Allah, you are more beloved to me than even myself. And the Messenger of Allah said, Al-an ya Umar, al-an, now Umar, now you have become a true believer. Imam Khattabi says, how did Umar have this change of heart all of a sudden? How is it possible? He says, because Umar began to think, what is Umar without the Messenger of Allah? Umar was in shirk without the Messenger of Allah. Umar had no Islam without the Messenger of Allah. Umar would have never become a Sahabi without the Messenger of Allah. Umar would have never become Amirul Mu'mineen without the Messenger of Allah. Umar would have never been buried next to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam without the Messenger of Allah. Umar, there was no Jannah for Umar. And Umar began to think. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, you are more beloved to me than everything else on the face of this earth. You know, there was a Bedouin. And he's in the desert. And Bedouin, he used to find his way because of the moon. He can't find the moon. It's cloudy. So he's looking for the moon. He can't find his way. And then all of a sudden, the moon comes out. And he's looking and he's finding his way back home. And he says, Ya ayyuhal qamar, madha aqulu lak. He said, oh moon, what can I say about you? He said, Rafa'akallah, laqad rafa'akallah. He said, may Allah elevate you. May Allah make you high. And Allah has made you high. Navarakallah, laqad navarakallah. May Allah may illuminate you. And indeed, Allah has illuminated you. He said, Jammalakallah, laqad jammalakallah. He said, may Allah make you beautiful. And Allah has made you beautiful. So a poet says, if this is what a Bedouin says to the moon who has lost his way, then what do I say to you, O Messenger of Allah? Mada aqulu laka ya Rasulullah, ya Sayyidi, rafa'akallah, wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. May Allah elevate your status. And indeed, Allah has elevated your status as he mentioned in the Quran. Nawwarakallah. May Allah illuminate you. And Allah said, qad ja'akum min Allah nuran wa kitabun munir. Mubeen. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come a nur and a kitabun mubeen and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jammalakallah. O Messenger of Allah, Allah make you beautiful. And then the Sahabi says, and we're speaking about moon here, yeah? The Sahabi says, I looked at the moon and I looked at the face of the Messenger of Allah and I looked at the full moon again. And I looked at the face of the Messenger of Allah. And I looked at the full moon again. And I looked at the beautiful illuminated face of the Messenger of Allah. And he says, I swear by Allah, the face of the Messenger of Allah was more beloved and more beautiful than the full moon. But we love the Messenger of Allah. Why? Why? Because the Messenger of Allah was a source of guidance for us. He was sent by Allah. He had a fikr, he had a concern. And it is because of those teachings we have gathered here today. And this is why when we see insults of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a believer feels upset, undoubtedly. No matter under what pretense it is, freedom of speech, whatever it is. And you know, look, freedom of speech is very good for those who don't have a voice. It's good, but freedom of speech can also be a smoke screen for those who are in the corridors of power, who are the media, who are the institutions of power. When they all gang up against a minority, then freedom of speech can also be a smoke screen for bigotry, for racism and Islamophobia, like we've seen in our own country, like we see in France. Really interesting, a country You know, who loves to speak about freedom of speech, but you don't allow women freedom of expression. You don't allow women to wear a tie that they want to, because of hypocrisy. And we should understand that the world, not just France, the world uses Muslims as a pawn, as a political pawn when they want to. China, the Uyghurs. Myanmar, the Rohingyas. Modi's India. Even the mayorship of London, Zach Goldsmith, when they want to use, when they want to create the other, the enemy, what do they use? They use the Muslims. And I was checking, it's really interesting, the hypocrisy, especially of France. France takes the biscuit, in all honesty. You know, they speak about freedom of speech and values. It's got nothing to do with values. I'll tell you what it's got to do. It's got to do with double standards. Look at France's record. 2005, there was an advert which they banned because it insulted the sentiments of the Catholics. 2005. 2009, Charlie Hebdo, they sacked a cartoonist who was a cartoonist for 20 years because he came out with some anti-Semitic sentiments. At the very same time, they were insulting the Muslims week after week. 2010, the government forced the prosecutors to try to ban the BDS under anti-discrimination laws. Freedom of speech? You deny the Holocaust, you can get up to 3 years in prison. But when it comes to the Muslims, subhanAllah, there's double standards, hypocrisy, to the degree that after the first stabbing, listen, I'm not here condoning the stabbings. If you don't like a law of the country, you got two options. You got three options. You either abide by it, which you all have to abide by, or you work to change it, or you leave the country. That's the options that you have. Otherwise, you have anarchy. We abide by the law of the land, even though we may dislike the law. We don't have to agree with the law, but you have to abide by the law of the land. So after the first stabbing, and I really found it honestly interesting, the first stabbing, and I'm not justifying it, I'm just putting it into a context. When you have Muslims in your classroom as a teacher, shouldn't you take into consideration the sentiments of the children, even if you told them to leave the classroom? Where's equal education gone there? We as Muslims take into consideration the sentiments of other people. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna. And in other narration, he mentioned Nas, that believers are those who others are safeguarded by their tongue and their hands. The Messenger of Allah mentioned tongue before their hands, because the tongue's wound is far greater than the damage of the hands. So the interior minister says, he says that we raided many homes. We knew we had nothing to do with the stabbing, just to send a message to the Muslims. This is the interior minister of France saying this. And subhanAllah, where does it stop? My time's up, I'm going to finish here. Where does it stop? You got to go to France to see the reality in France. Honestly, ghettoized, lack of education. The prisons are brimming with Muslims. According to the Washington Post and the Telegraph, 70% of the prison inmates are North Africans. You have no opportunity in life. And then on top of that, the final thing, after all that, after making them, sidelining them, making them feel like fifth columners, second class citizen, then you take that thing which is the dearest to them. One person stabbed. Maybe even if you had 10, maybe even if you have 20, maybe even had 50 people who are going to commit a terrorist act. They're from your 6 billion, you got these 20 individuals, does it justify the government projecting the images of Charlie Hebdo of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on their buildings? I would call this childish, but it's not childish, it's arrogance. It's colonial hangover. The truth is, we need to understand, the more visible the Muslim will become, the more that you will have a group of people who will hate you. To a degree, they didn't mind our parents, because our parents couldn't speak the language. They didn't understand the values, the culture. Now you have a group of people who are visible, who are confident in their religion, in their values, in their culture, who feel British. So it doesn't mean that the more that you live in this country, the more visible that you are, that more you will be accepted. No. It actually possibly will be to the contrary. France has 6 million Muslims, and the government is sick and tired of the migrants. Well, then you shouldn't have gone and colonialized their countries, killed 10 million of their individuals, put 2 million in internment. 10 million Algerians died under French colonial law. So what you sow is what you will reap. I have a final message. I'm not going to think, because I don't have the time. Obviously, everybody's come for Jummah and they need to go. But I want to just say, finally, briefly, you love the message of Allah? Short-term beheading people, decapitating people, killing people ain't going to work. You love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Then do something positive in the name of the message of Allah. Go and propagate the teaching of the message of Allah. You're all on social media. Put some nice quote up of the message of Allah. Go outside and do some, that which is more difficult. Spend your time and your effort for the love of the message of Allah. Put a tree one day, one month, in a year is not good enough. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِئُونَ. If you love Allah, then follow me, the message of Allah. Make the message of Allah our role model, and you have fulfilled the haq. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.